First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 6th, 2014, The Last Photograph.
Please rise. We will be reading Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Thank you. You may be seated.
That verse followed right after our story today, as you can tell. Watch out, remember things. We're in our last chapter of our book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to finish Ecclesiastes next Sunday, because we're going to do the first half of chapter 12 today and the last half of chapter 12 next week. Can you read what my title picture says? The title of the sermon is The Last Photograph. Inside every old person is a young person wondering what happened. I have to tell you that, you know, as life goes by, I have some of these thoughts and some of these experiences about age. And I can remember as a young child, and I was kind of had a mouth that sometimes would get me in trouble when I was younger. And I can remember as a child my parents and older relatives talking one day about something and why kids didn't think the way that they did. And I'm a dumb kid who watches television and repeats what I saw. And I said, maybe it's because we're under 30. Remember when that was a phrase? I said that. And the house got real quiet, and I was in trouble. What I'd like is I'd like two volunteers, please, of the older 20 age group to come up. And what I'm going to ask you to do is tell us how getting older has changed you. Would two of you come up, and I didn't set this up ahead of time, two people over 20, how it has changed you is it's made you shy. Anybody? Anybody want to come up? I have a reward for you if it helps. I have rewards for you. There's one. Okay, good. Now I won't tell you about the reward until we get done, but come on up. So take a moment and Paige, you're here first. Tell us, like it says on the slide there, how has getting older changed you? Come on up.
It's made me less concerned about whether people like me or not.
Okay. Okay. Made you less concerned? I will admit, the older I get, the less I ask for advice. I don't know if that's good or what, but because I've gotten a lot of bad advice in my past, that's going to be the primary reason that I say. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Mrs. Rowan, how has getting older changed you? Okay.
I see a lot more. So many people are just like you, just sort of aware of you. I think maturity and learning from mistakes.
Okay, so we've heard that some of the changes of age are you ask for less advice, you take your own opinion first. Physical abilities might change, and things like that. Anything else you wanted me to add on in there?
Phones, cell phone all the time, Facebook when I was 15, 20 years old, 14. You know, all the computers and all the iPads and smartphones.
Not everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people were, when I was 15, 10, we didn't have those things. You didn't have remote controls. And so how that changed me is it makes me think about a lot of the things that the kids have now that I didn't have and how that completely changed the way that they have an outlook.
Before, you might have been on Channel 7 all night because you didn't want to get up and change it, and now you change every 30 seconds.
And there's still nothing on, but, you know, you can just sit there for the rest of your
shift. Something neither one of you pointed out was as you've gotten older, you realized that life had no problems because you knew how to solve all of them.
Yeah.
So what we have is we have a therapeutic gift for you. I'm going to hand you this one. I'm going to explain it. So lots of times in life you have problems. What this is a, you can use a QFC, this is a chocolate puzzle with a chocolate ball on the inside, and you can try to manipulate, you can see I'm not good at these things, there we go. You can try to manipulate it around, but one thing, this kind of problem, if you can't solve it, you can just eat it. Thank you very much, clap for our friends, if you go back and sit down. Thank you very much. Life is filled with changes, and the one thing that is constant is life. I want to give you a glimpse into life and tell you some of the way that things have changed. This is from the 1930s or early 1940s in Missouri. This is Russell Dale Johnston. I was raised by my grandparents, and this is him. He used to work for the railroad. They also lived on a farm. So they were poor dirt farmers that only did that to live. And then Dad worked 20 years. This is when he was working on the railroad. I've been working on the railroad. That was him, carrying ties, swinging the hammer, manual labor. He shrunk 4 or 5 inches in his life from manual labor, carrying these kinds of things. Who is that? 1958. That is my real mom's high school graduation picture. Life has changed. That's the way they dressed back then. Everybody had their poofy skirt. Do you recognize that guy? I'm very sorry. That was me several months after I was born. I shouldn't say several, but several weeks after I was born. I was sick when I was born. That's another story. But because I had an almost normal kind of look, they went ahead and snapped that picture. Oh, no. This is behind my house. The car on the left is my dad's last car, 1975 Chevrolet Impala, 4-door vinyl roof. And that's my 1972 Datsun 240Z. It was my woman catcher because after I got that, I got married. Not that that had anything to do with anything, per se. Excuse me. That picture, oh, there's a bullet. I said, what is wrong? I know what's going on. So what I have to show you is, this was girlfriend 2.0. Not 1.0, this is girlfriend 2.0. This was girlfriend 3.0. That's a dress she wore as a bridesmaid once, right? Didn't you make that or your mom made that? And that was me behind the house, white shirt. I still have that tie. I have ties that are older than my marriage. I have that Eastern long purple with dark blue striped tie. It's hanging in my bedroom now. What else is going to happen? Barbara told me about that. I wasn't there. I remember that dress. This is in Barbara's parents' head, and it wasn't a Tosca. What was it? Tioga. A little Tioga. We took that for our honeymoon. We drove it down from Alaska. We took the ferry, went to all the way up to Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. There's Barbara
cooking in the little stove as we first were going to eat on our honeymoon. What about that? Shows you how old we are. There we are, and I took those pictures. We were in New York and New Jersey, and we actually went to the top of one of those towers. And Craig, you're in this one. We used to live in California, and years ago, that top left picture, that is Craig. We were in a crowd of people, and they had live shows at Disneyland, and little Craig got picked out of the crowd to come out and act out the sword in the stone. That he was still in Disneyland, I understand, and they have a guy who's watching, and they told Craig to pull on the sword, and then he almost jumped out of his skin because by remote control, they can lift the sword up out of the stone. You can't do it in the park, but for the show, all of a sudden, it came up. And somewhere in a box, we have a medallion. Craig was king for a day of Disneyland because he could pull the sword out of the stone. And there we are, Brittany and Daniel. How come we don't get to do that? It's too far away. Tough luck. Life changes. There we are in front of Disneyland with Mr. Craig. Having a good time. In your Bible, why are we doing all this? So there's actually a reason we're doing all this. In your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to look at yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because as our man Solomon concludes his book, the farther he goes in his book, the more positive his message becomes. And the more he says, listen, even though I knew what to do, I had it all, and I decided to take advantage of doing whatever I wanted, even though I knew better. Remember Solomon, the wisest man, God gave him special gifts, God gave him riches, God gave him good looks, God gave him anything he wanted to, and God wanted him to live within reason. God does the same thing for us. This is why Ecclesiastes is a contemporary book. You can do a lot of things. And perhaps today you have more choices than any other era in history. If you tried in 24 hours, you could be in Sydney, Australia. For $20 million, like Charles Simeoni, you could go up in a spacecraft. That's why across the museum, the fly is the Charles Simeoni Museum with all these pictures from when he paid $20 million, got the Russians to fly him up to space. You can do the same thing. Richard Branson, $250,000. You can go 62 and a half miles above sea level. You can be weightless, you can be in space. No blue, just black around you. We can do a lot of things. Solomon decided to let go and do everything he wanted to, and when he was done, he realized, what a waste of time, what a waste of money, what a waste of years, what a waste of relationships. Because, again, something I regularly say, and I say to our youth friends, I say it here when I had a chance to speak to the scouts, the boys, Eagle, I said that too. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. You should not take advantage of every opportunity you have, correct? You see a lot of good cake today, please leave some for everyone else. There's a lot of things you could do. It doesn't mean that's what you should do. And if Solomon has gone by at the end of our book, he'd relax and listen. I know I made a lot of mistakes, I lived very foolishly. I did things that were wrong. I didn't follow what God told me. I took advantage of my situation. He talked about living foolishly in chapter 10. In chapter 11, he talked about living wisely. Here in chapter 12, he's going to look back at life. And he's going to say, when you go through life, there are things that you take with you. He wants us to sit down and realize what is awaiting for us. First two verses of this are looked at as memories, yesterday's picture. Remember now, your Creator, the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. This right here, this first verse, verse on the cover of your bulletin, our slide placeholder today, this is, I think, Solomon's negative testimony. When you're a young person, you have the whole life ahead of you, and every chance is there waiting, please, 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 don't do things that you're going to wish you had never done. Don't regret those things that will affect your life forever. This is what he did as a young man. He had everything going for him. And then, as the adult, early middle age perhaps, he blew it. So as he writes for people to read, because remember, he's the king. Solomon's the king now. So what he says and does, people take notes. I can imagine there was a time when this was read aloud. need a square for people to hear. Remember when. On your Bible there, what's it say? Remember now. Yeah, remember now. 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 Your creator, the days of your youth. Because how would she call the rest of life? The difficult days. Years to draw near when you said, I can't resist any fun anymore. Pills and shots and orthopedic inserts in your shoes, mortgages, tax implications, lawyer visits, doctor visits, buying burial plots, what's going to happen next. Those aren't necessarily fun things to do. And you look back and you think, boy, what if? What if? What if? Did you do something about God with your life when you could? Some people say, well, I'm too old. You're never too old. God's repentance is always now. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation, deliverance, and change. So today is the day when things could get better. But when you have opportunities to do unusual things, did you take advantage of them? Because right now, it's easier to do something. Verse 2, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, the clouds do not return after the rain. Listen, you have a chance to do things. Because when you're a younger person, so some of us, if you're not in the nursing home, you're a younger person, amen? It's easier to do something about it when you have free run over your life. Because all that happens when you get older is you limit your choices. That's all that happens. Where you live, where you work, who you hang around with, who's in family, where you're going to go, what you're having, what have you done for 10 years. All you do in your age is you limit your choices. So it says, before your choices are limited, hopefully you're able to do things that you can look back at and have a good memory of. You like this? You like this? I'm so old, all these things are true about me. I've dialed a rotary phone before while listening to a Walkman. I still have my Walkman, by the way, next to a black and white TV with aluminum foil and the rabbit ears. I grew up with color TV until 1985. Until 1985, we had a black and white television with rabbit ears and the foil thing. I can remember, after a while, I got to be a little bit, I could adjust the ears and get rid of the lines and the waves and the fuzz. And then back then, the TVs only had the dial selector, but ours had a little ring that you would adjust the fine tuning. Remember those? A little ring on the dial to try and just get that little extra bit of megahertz or kilohertz or kilowatts, whatever, and get the good picture. Because the Broncos were on. We're up in Denver, the Broncos were on. And we were 2 miles from Mile High Stadium, but we'd have terrible reception. You'd almost see better looking out the back door when you put on the television, but life changes. He goes on to tell us this is perhaps one of the most famous passages of Scripture. Not just in the Bible, Solomon was going to now exercise some of the wisdom, some of the poetry, some of the vivid language, and you'll see how he truly was a wise man ahead of his time. Because verses 3 through 8 describe for us some of the changes that life has. He speaks about today, today's picture. What do we find? And this is a man near the end of his life. And he says, do things for God when you can before you're locked up for whatever reason. And he says, here are things that could potentially lock you out from doing what you like. Look at verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble. He's going to be using poetic language to describe physical deterioration. The keepers of the house tremble. He's talking about your legs. You know, a firm foundation, Matthew chapter 7 talks about, keeps the house built on the rock. The keepers of the house are your legs. Your muscles become weak. You see a couple of friends walking down the street there, helping each other, going down the street. That's today's picture. What is today's picture? Strong men bow down. It's not just the ladies that have some difficulties. We gentlemen have a hard time getting going. How many of us have a walker? I used to walk her last year for lots of times. And yeah, maybe I didn't throw away my canes. Why? Well, I read Ecclesiastes 12. That day is going to come back. Strong men bow down. This is one of my favorite ones. The grinders cease because they are feud. You see that in there? What are they talking about? Teeth. Teeth. False teeth. People can get studs put in their mouth. You know, I've got a crown now. Things happen. So 3,000 years ago, can you imagine what it was like to have dental care? There wasn't much of any, but there were attempts. I'd much rather go to Dr. Perkins than whatever they did. Teeth coming out. What's the guy wearing? Look how vivid these things are. Those that look through the windows grow dim. Glasses. Even back in those days, I don't think they had glasses back then. I don't know whether it could have been glasses. I didn't take the time to look, but eyesight deterioration been going on a long time. Read that sign for me, somebody, would you? If you take a look there, the doors are shut in the streets. The idea of this is people say this is, and I agree with them, this is a figure of speech describing your ability to hear. The doors in the streets are shut, open or closed. Can you hear? This is a common problem. I notice that my wife sometimes tells me, turn that TV down a little. I can't hear it then. What's going on? Look at Grandma. I have yet to see this game, but when they invent it, this will be the most popular thing to do at courtside. What's courtside? Coming after church, if you don't know what that is. And imagine grandma's keeping her points. Brandon, you've been working on names and stuff like that. If anyone knows, I think that would be really something to get. So when you look at some of these verses, he presents to us, you know, in the past, I hope you remember God and did some great things that honored him and that were for him, that you have good memories to base your life on, because today, there's nothing but trouble. Today, if you're alive, the older you get, you know, you just aren't as quick. He says, tomorrow is coming. Look, it's a nice, I couldn't fit this whole picture. There's a lady, real picture. She's supporting her entire body with just her two hands. You see her feet are off the ground? I don't think this is a yoga picture. Maybe it is, but I'm impressed by this lady. There's a future that is coming. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Verse 9. He still taught the people. We're going to focus in on this section more next Sunday. This is not the conclusion of our book. We're going to focus in on this in a different way. So we're looking at this because this entire chapter flows this way from the past to today to the future. Solomon didn't quit. He kept on going, and as he was older and drifted back to God, isn't that merciful? Good to drift back to God, no matter what age it is, whether it's at 15, 25, or 75. It's good to come back and have a good relationship with God. He's listening. Pick out what will fill your picture later. Have you gotten involved with others? This is what Solomon was doing, calling himself by his nickname, since he was the wisest man, the teacher, the source of wisdom. I mean, she became to listen to him. He was the talker, the preacher. Solomon, if he was around today, he'd have a TV show or a radio show, or he'd have a blog, and he would be telling people God's insights on living. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught people knowledge. Pass on those good things that you have learned. This is what Solomon's coming back to. He's done it all. He didn't restrain himself, and he said, don't do this. Do this instead. Do more than just study. You can spend your whole life in school and not do anything, right? You can spend your whole life thinking and never trying. And then get right with God. That's what he's going to close off with. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. We're going to expand on, again, this last section of verses next week, look more carefully at them. But his last things to talk to us about are, again, just as you can doesn't mean you should. Do what God tells you to do. A lot of people have this perspective. I'm starting to think I will never be old enough to know better, right? Because ultimately, the Bible speaks to us, Ecclesiastes has spoken to us about those final images of life. Even with that in mind, we don't have to fear just because we're getting older. Old age is not for sissies, right? Right. Death is the last part of this life, and it just opens the door to the rest of eternity. And we stock up. Jesus talked about rewards more than a lot of other things. Jesus talked a lot about rewards and a lot about money. Jesus says that we stock up heaven's pantry with what we're doing today. Look at the parables of the unjust and the just servant. The one who looked forward to his future when Jesus said, the children of this age are wiser than the children of light. Why? There was a man who got fired from his job and did what he could, honest or dishonestly, to try and protect and prepare for his future. And he says, we, God's children, do not protect our futures. We don't look forward or prepare to our future time in heaven like we should. God tells us that we're either preparing for heaven or we're preparing to go to someplace else. And part of wisdom is, whether people agree with it or not, you need to go up and agree with God's word that there's a future beyond this life. There's more than what you see. That you're going to go somewhere. Forgive me, the Bob Dylan song, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve God. Or either you're going to say, I don't care, I don't believe there's anything else besides me. You've already made a decision that you don't realize. God tells us there were people who are going to honor him or dishonor him and ruin our lives. We're going to close off with this hymn. Lord, I lift your name on high. And as I look at Solomon, this is a message he would want us to hear. He would want us to be people who didn't focus on the things that are around and all the unsmelled flowers that perhaps are in somebody else's yard. He wants us to bloom where we're planted, and do the things that God has for us and honor him.
God, help us to honor you now and do things for you now while we can, while you give us life, while you give us opportunity, while you give us strength, while you give us the chance. Father, we always look to the past and think, what if? Could I have tried? What should I have done? Father, help us not to do that in the future, this afternoon, this week. What should I have done today? Help us to do now what we know to do. And as we're making all these right choices, help us not to forget that we're here in your family as your children. Help us today to honor you as our Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,